You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. Its title, Was Christ's Death a Mistake? Now here is Dr. Schultz.
This week, the Christian community around the world begins the celebration of Lent. By your Spirit, move each of us to examine our lives, and by your Spirit, convict us of our sin. By your grace, O Lord, lift the lives of all who are listening today and assure them of your unqualified forgiveness and give them a hope that is eternal. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. This week signals the kickoff of that period each year that Christians around the world call Lent. Lent is the opportunity for Christians to reflect on the meaning of Christ's crucifixion. Lent is a reminder that Jesus did not die for his own sins, but for our sins. Lent is preparation for the good news of Easter, announced by the Apostle Paul, that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so in Jesus Christ we too might walk in the newness of life. For some people, Lent is little more than a time to set aside the so-called little sins of life. These might include saying no to chocolate and laying off the sweets, all in the hope that these shallow acts of sorrow will in some way make a person more acceptable to God. If this is your understanding of Lent, then you have been misinformed. No amount of self-righteous acts will ever satisfy our holy and righteous God. You and I may try to be especially religious during the Lenten season, and yet Isaiah the prophet reminds us that all our righteous deeds are like a filthy garment. Jeremiah the prophet writes, "Although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares the Lord God." And so if you want to be part of a God-pleasing Lent in 1998, then forget about trying to be religious. Forget about doing self-righteous acts in the hope that these deeds will shield you from God's judgment now directed toward your sin. Don't try to build your hope upon yourself, but instead focus your faith on the crucifixion cross. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible explains that he died for sins, once for all, the just for the unjust, in order that he, Jesus, might bring us to God. No amount of giving up television for Lent will ever satisfy God's wrath and judgment now directed toward your sins and my sins and our many mistakes. Only the blood of Christ shed on the cross of Calvary has the power to appease God's anger and to save you and me from the curse of our sin. Recorded in the Bible, the Apostle John writes, "And he himself, Jesus, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." And so then Lent is that time of the year when we focus our faith not on what we try in vain to do for God, but rather, Lent is that time of the year when we fix our eyes of faith on what God has already done for us in Jesus Christ. Lent is a time, as the Apostle Paul reminds us, to give thanks to our Heavenly Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For God has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Now, of course, not everyone believes that Jesus gave up his life voluntarily as a worthy sacrifice to pay for your sins and mine. And for these skeptics, the Apostle Paul reminds us the power of Christ's crucifixion is foolishness. One of the most infamous deniers of the biblical explanation of Christ's death was Albert Schweitzer. Schweitzer's foolish views were published in a well-known book titled The Quest for the Historical Jesus. This book first appeared in English in 1909. This book is still regarded as one of the great theological classics. Many liberal theologians in the United States, Canada, and Europe continue to hold Schweitzer's anti-biblical views. According to Albert Schweitzer, Jesus never intended to die on the cross. Instead, our Savior became involved in the religious politics of his day, and consequently, the plans of Jesus went awry. And the end result, according to Schweitzer, was, and I quote, that Jesus was arrested, tried, and tragically sentenced to death. What Albert Schweitzer taught, that Jesus did not die voluntarily, is in direct contradiction to what Jesus Christ himself publicly proclaimed. I am the good shepherd, Jesus said. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No one, Jesus emphasized, has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. The death of Jesus Christ was no accident. This bloody event was planned in the mind of God from eternity. God sent his spokesman, the Old Testament prophets, to comfort his people by explaining that the suffering and death of Christ would heal them from their sin. Concerning the coming Messiah, Isaiah the prophet writes, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. He, Jesus, was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And by his scourging, we are healed." All of us like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah continues to write. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon him. Finally, Isaiah states that the Heavenly Father saw the suffering of Christ, the anguish of his son's soul, and the death of his son, and then he, the Father, was satisfied. When Jesus cried out from the cross, "It is finished," this victory cry signaled that Jesus had completed his work of redemption. The Heavenly Father then also accepted this work as a full and complete payment for all sin. And so then let no one, including the followers of Albert Schweitzer, ever say that Christ's death was accidental. Centuries before Jesus was born, the prophets spoke about Christ's future suffering and death. And when the event finally occurred, all this was done, St. Matthew writes, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Of course, during his public ministry, Jesus was also fully aware that it was he who would fulfill the scriptures. Repeatedly, yes, repeatedly, Jesus spoke to his disciples concerning his coming death. In the Gospel of Luke we read, Jesus took his 12 disciples aside, and he told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be handed over," Jesus said, "to the Gentiles, and they will mock him. They will insult him. They will spit on him. They will flog him, and they will kill him. On the third day," Jesus said, "he will rise again." These clear sections of Holy Scripture powerfully testify that Jesus knowingly and voluntarily gave up his life as a ransom for sin. St. Matthew writes, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Without the shedding of the blood, the Bible explains, there is no forgiveness. Over the centuries, people have celebrated Lent and the remembrance of Christ's suffering in a variety of ways. It has been tradition in Roman Catholicism to place ashes on one's forehead. This act is done to signify mourning and penitence for sin. Now, however, according to the New York Times, this tradition is being increasingly practiced by Protestants as an ecumenical gesture to bring everyone together. Placing ashes on one's forehead may surely be a sincere and pious gesture to bring about unity among denominations and religious groups. True unity, however, in the sight of God, requires much more. This is demonstrated in St. Paul's words to the Ephesian Christians when he explains that it required the bloody death of Christ on the cross to break down the wall that separated Jews and Gentiles. St. Paul writes, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For Christ himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. So also this same Jesus today, the author of forgiveness, who brought Jew and Gentile together into a faith in Christ, this same Jesus can bring together all who are alienated from their family, separated from their spouse, and divided from previous friends. The blood of Christ has the power to heal divided congregations and to bring peace between pastors and alienated parishioners. And so today, if your heart is burdened by the deep division and the lack of love in relationships you have with others, then turn to God. Turn to His grace and mercy. God's grace brings healing and hope, not anger and vengeance and destruction. Not long ago, newspapers carried the story of a man in Florida who was so angry with his wife that he bought a demolition permit. Then, in anger, he bulldozed their $85,000 house. It took only 15 minutes for this angry husband to bring vengeance upon his wife. Oh, my friend, there is a better way. There's a better way than vengeance and destruction. God promises to help all who call upon Him in the day of trouble. No matter how difficult your situation might be, ask the Lord to enable you to speak to your marriage mate or to other members of your family. And instead of trying to decide who is to blame, explain to your partner how God has forgiven you in Jesus Christ. And then always assure your spouse that in Jesus, he or she has also been forgiven. Through the power of God's gracious forgiveness, the dividing wall between you and your loved ones can be removed. And with your marriage partner, you can become one again in an even greater way, possibly, than the day you said, "I do," before the clergyman in front of the altar. Through God's grace and forgiveness, all division and anger in your family can be healed. This healthy and healing medicine is found in the blood of Jesus, blood voluntarily shed on the cross of Calvary. And so then, as we begin this Lenten season, let these days be an opportunity for each of us to examine our relationship with God. And then instead of immediately trying to convince God of our own self-righteousness, we need first to look into God's mirror of His law. You see, by the world's standards, you may feel like you are good enough to stand before a holy God. However, when you look in the mirror of God's law, you will be forced to confess with Job, "Though I am righteous, my mouth will condemn me. And though I am guiltless, He, God, will declare me guilty." In His holy word, God speaks to us not only through His law, but also in His saving gospel. Therefore, rejoice today and say with St. Paul, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, now makes us alive with Christ." And God does all of this not because of our merit, but because of His grace. And this grace of God is shown most powerfully in Jesus' death on the cross. Christ's death was no accident. The plan that Christ should die came from the heart of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God sent His Son into the world not to judge the world, but that the world, including you, should be saved through Him. My dear friend, this Lenten season, beginning this week, is God's gracious reminder. Lent reminds us of our sin. Lent reminds us of Jesus who died to pay the price for our sins. And Lent reminds us that the suffering and death of Jesus is climaxed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And because Jesus rose again from the dead, all who follow Him will be raised on the last day to be with Him, with Jesus, forever in paradise. Finally, my friend, rejoice this Lenten season. Although your sins are as scarlet, in Jesus' blood they are washed as white as snow. In Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Therefore, especially this Lenten season, rejoice in God's grace and live in the hope of heaven. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.